Amen.
You're all welcome. Amen. This morning is a joy to be here. I want to speak to you about
debt situation. Many of us have debt situations in our lives. Sometimes it's the death of a dream, the death of a promise somebody gave you, the death of a relationship, the death of some expectations you had, and everything dies, and the vital signs are there. But unfortunately, like Samuel, we keep mourning the death of Saul, and we behave as if we don't know that Saul is dead, and God has anointed another king. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I've rejected him?" What he was in essence telling Samuel is that chapter of your life is closed. That chapter of your life is not responding to life. You cannot keep that dead body with you. It says, now stop even praying for him. You know that 1 Samuel 15, just the verse 35, it says that Samuel did not go anymore to see Saul, and yet he mourned for him every day. Some of us are mourning over things every day, even though we are not interacting with the person. Sometimes maybe it was some boyfriend who left you. He's left you. You don't see him physically, but you mourn for him every day. Sometimes it is a mistake or something somebody did against you. You are not interacting with the person anymore like Samuel, but you are mourning every day for that thing. And the Lord is saying now that chapter is closed. David is about to be released. A fresh anointing is coming. It's time to set aside that dead situation. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, the Bible says that the days of mourning have a time for being accomplished. You cannot mourn forever. You must grieve. But after the grief, you must move on. Hallelujah. The children of Israel, they attended Moses' funeral. The Bible says that they wept for the funeral and they mourned for Moses 30 days. Deuteronomy 34:8. They wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. There must come an end to the days of weeping and mourning for what you were familiar with, what you expected, what you wanted. It must come to an end. And usually God cannot move us on because we are living in the past. I always say that, how many of you, when you are playing a CD and it's faulty and it's always playing that same place, you turn it off because you can't listen, it can't produce music anymore. How many of you, when you chew a piece of meat, will chew it over and over again? At a point, it has lost its sweetness. But with your life, you chew and chew. A certain chapter, the sweetness has gone out, and yet God cannot move you ahead. Because the days of mourning are not ending for you. But there's an end to everything. There's an end to every heartache. There's an end to every disappointment. That husband of yours who is not changing, there's an end to it. And usually God steps in when you have stopped and given everything up. The days of mourning were over. And so God had, when they finished mourning 30 days, the days of weeping and mourning were ended. But they still stayed at the same place. And God had to come to Joshua and inform him that Moses, my servant, is dead. Was Joshua not at the funeral? Did he not also mourn 30 days? Was he not there when the days of mourning ended? But God had to remind him that Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Some of you, you've stopped the weeping, you've stopped the mourning, but there's no rising up into what God wants to make you. That man that you are weeping over, he has moved on. He has married somebody else, sometimes even had children. And then you are still thinking, oh, if only Sammy were here. Are you God? If Sammy were here, do you know what life would be like? That healing that you are believing God for that child, for that relative, it may be a dead situation. It's not dead that God will not come to you. But there are different types of dead situations. There are dead situations that God does not resurrect anymore. And there are certain dead situations that only Jesus can resurrect. Whether it's this side or that side, you still have to leave it because it is a dead situation. Dead to your efforts and to your abilities to make any difference. You have fought. You have won the battle. You have bound. You have loosed. You have, like I was saying yesterday, we have gone through all the theatrics and still nothing is happening. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Sometimes it is the loss of a ministry, seeming loss. Sometimes the loss of a person. Sometimes you go through something, you think that because of that, you have lost your future. But you have not lost everything yet. Now, we need to keep the dead out of our sight. But most of us have put the dead there like a museum piece. And we focus on it. In the book of Luke, when Jesus was going to minister to the woman with the issue of blood, he wasn't really going to minister to the woman with the issue. He was going to Jairus' house because Jairus' daughter had died. That was where he was going. And then he was distracted by the woman with the issue of blood and who touched me, it's not me, there are so many people. So whilst he was there, Jairus was also there. And they sent a message, trouble the master no longer, for your daughter is dead. There are certain death situations that people tell us, trouble God no longer, hope no longer, have faith no longer, trust no longer, for your servant is dead. And Jesus said to Jairus, your daughter is not dead. She's only sleeping. Only believe. So there are certain death situations that you have to believe God for to resurrect. And there are some of them that they are dead and gone. You've got to bury it, have a funeral ceremony, cry the most you can. Some of you tonight, cry all that you can on that issue. And then dig the floor. Write all the things and put it in the ground. Cover it. And forget about it, because the mourning ceremony is over. In Numbers 34 verse 8, the only thing that you were allowed to do was to mourn 7 days if you were a Hebrew. You were not allowed to mourn, Numbers 19 verse 11, sorry. You were not allowed to mourn longer than that. When Jesus was walking, the people said, let me go and bury my father. He said, leave the dead to bury their dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And so it depends on the type of situation. It depends on what God is saying about the type. But usually we are not led by what God is saying. We are led by our feelings. We are led by the depth of our pain, by our sense of loss and our sense of hopelessness. The madman of Gadara, the Bible says, he dwelt among tombs. When you dwell among dead situations, you begin to destroy yourself just like the man. Because you are dwelling among tombs, not among the living. You are dwelling among issues that you should have moved on with long ago. That quarrel with that sister, you are so pent up about it. It's a dead situation. Whether you get angry, whether you forgive her or not, when she wakes up in the morning, she eats her yogurt and she's happy. Why should you pay for her grief, for her joy, and you grieve? I don't think that that is God's will for our lives. The madman of Gadara dwelt among tombs. And because of that, the demons had a habitation and they drove him. When you dwell among dead things, such is your life, because you have no horizon to look up to. There's no hope. Your knees have grown weak. Your lame legs are being turned out of the way. And you are fighting the situation. But if it's a situation like Jairus' daughter, you still have to leave it. You have to recognize that when things are dead, I cannot do anything about it. It's only the master that can do something about it. Now, I want us to read a verse about Abraham, Genesis 23, 3 to 4. Abraham stood from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I'm a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Give me a place where I will not have to meditate on my dead situation all the time. Give me a place where when I turn my eyes, I will not even have the opportunity to see that dead situation. Some of you have to do something physically to move that dead situation out of your life and bury the dead out of your sight. Because if you do not bury the dead out of your sight, you will mourn and mourn and mourn inadequately. Amen. sometimes the promise has not even been denied, but you have decided to live as if it's a dead situation. And then instead of burying it and also moving, you are living among the dead and the tombs. And you are reliving the pain. Oh God, so am I going to go all these years without this breakthrough? So am I going to do this without all the greatest thing that we need as women is the ability to trust God. The ability to enter his rest and cease from our own works. And that defies us because we are so prone to worrying and seeing what we can do and thinking and evaluating and just trying to figure out what God would do. Now, what do you do when you find yourself in a dead situation? Number one, recognize the signs of death. Recognize the signs of death. Maybe that thing is not moving. There's no breath. There are no eyes. God has a plan B. When Adam and Eve lost the Garden of Eden, God had another plan for them. He came, he clothed them, and he said to them, your seed is going to bruise the head of a serpent. He gave them another plan. He didn't say that because you have broken the laws and you have fallen from grace, it's finished. There's no other plan for you. God always has a redemption plan. And man always does not see how God is going to work it out. The Bible says he will give beauty for ashes. And he will give you beauty for ashes even if only you will give him the ashes. If you keep to your ashes, you know many times bodies are cremated and they are burned in the Eastern culture. And I believe that ashes represent your death situations. And instead of doing an exchange with God, if you want to keep your ashes, he cannot give you beauty. Sometimes you look at your marriage or your situation and you say, God, this thing, the way it has gone, there's no way there can be resurrection life in it. There's no way anything good can come. Everything is spoiled. I met a couple. I was asking the wife's auntie, so is it over? She said, oh, sissy, I do. There's nothing that can be done. What say, cry? But there are times when with God, it is not spoilt. When you look at yourself, you look at your circumstances, you look at what your senses are telling you, you look at even what the person is saying to you. So as he was cry, but in God's eyes, he just wants you to bring the dead ashes from the cremated bodies of your life and lift them up and give them to him so that he can give you beauty in place of that. But it takes an effort to collect your ashes into an urn or a container. It takes an effort to stretch out your hand and give it to God. We must arise like Joshua. The children of Israel would never have gotten into their inheritance if they had stayed on Mount Nebo with Moses' body mourning. God has to come in and tell Joshua, look, Moses, my servant, is dead. I am declaring to you, although you attended the funeral, you are not behaving as if you know that. Now, therefore, arise, you and all these people, and go over this Jordan. God is a restorer. When we lose things, he gives them back to us. The Bible says that when a thief takes something from you, let him pay seven times. Because God always gives back. When Naomi lost her husband and her two sons, she thought that was over. But in the last book of Ruth, as Bishop would say, the last page had not been written. When the last chapter of that history was written, they said to Naomi that, may Ruth be to you a nourisher and a restorer of your life. God restores. And when the child was born, they said to Ruth that this one is better for you than seven sons. Better. She lost two sons. She lost her husband. She gained seven sons in a way that she did not expect. That is God. And Naomi said, oh, the hand of the Lord has gone against me. Call me no more, Naomi. Call me Mara, bitterness. Naomi means pleasantness. Don't call me that anymore. Because the hand of the Lord said, the hand of the Lord has afflicted me. And sometimes that's how we feel. The hand of the Lord has been hard on me. But God doesn't reveal everything to us. But if we would just get up like Naomi and go back to Bethlehem, Judah, when we hear that there's bread in the house of the Lord, he knows how to work it out. Naomi couldn't have worked out that, oh, let Boaz come. And then when he comes, he'll meet Ruth. And then Obed will come from. There was no way Ruth could have known that. The greatest thing you need as a woman is to walk by faith and not by sight. Not by the things you see. Not by how you feel. Not even by what you hear. Only believe. Believing is easy. Believing is not a struggle. Only believe. Okay, I just accepted that it is as God is saying. But what really battles against us is that we live in the midst of the contrary. And so when we see the contrary, then we drift towards what we see more than what God's word has said. But if we will hold on to God's word, it will bring us into new chapters of our lives. Restoration of our lives. Some of you, you are married all right, but the relationship is spoilt. And you think, oh, it's so spoilt. You know, when dead things are kept for so, they stink. It's so spoilt, it's even stinking. But when Jesus comes, he looks at the situation and his perspective is different from yours. You say Jairus' daughter is dead. He says she's only sleeping. God's testimony is different from your testimony. And when things are hard and you can't see, you have to see God's hand.
You are listening to Honey on My Lips with Lady Reverend Adelaide Howard Mills. Stay tuned in. Welcome back.
Number two, mourn adequately. Don't live in denial and say, it didn't happen. It's not happening to me. He didn't go. In fact, by faith, he's here. I don't believe it. And all that. You've got to mourn adequately. Don't keep grief inside you. If you have to grieve, grieve. That's why the Bible gave days for grieving. And mourn within limits is the next one. Do not go beyond the stipulated mourning time. Don't go beyond the stipulated mourning time. Look to God for a new beginning. Believe in the resurrection. When Jesus died, if the disciples had not had him resurrected, there would be no gospel now. But he had to take 3 days of mourning, of death, of grief. But after 3 days, God did not need the disciples' help to resurrect Jesus. Whatever God has to bring to you, your salvation, whatever it is, he doesn't need your help to resurrect something that he wants to bring back to life. Hallelujah. Allow God to heal and to restore. Believe in life after death. Turn your eyes away. Behave as if the death did not occur. Leave what is dead. And on that note, I want to read 2 Samuel 12, 16 to 23. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? When David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he's dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. And his servant said unto him, what thing is it that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child when it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? And now he's dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Amen. David had been in a crisis. This child was the child of Bathsheba, and God's judgment had come, And God had said through the prophet Nathan that, you know, because of your deeds, this child will not live, but I will spare your life. So David thought that, well, God has said that, but God is merciful. Sometimes when God says things by judgment, we should still come and plead for his mercy. Because David said, you don't know whether maybe the Lord will resurrect him. And when David goes to fast and to pray, pleading for the life of this child, and the way he was behaving, the servant said, the way he's behaving to have the child live, when the child died, we don't think we'll be able to tell him that the child is dead. But David recognized how to behave when you have dead situation. I'm not saying that when you have a dead situation, don't pray about it. I'm not saying don't fast about it. I'm not saying don't seek God about it. But it comes to a point where you can see, like David, that the child is dead. The dream is dead. The expectation is dead. That thing that you are struggling about, it doesn't look like life is coming from it. And when that happened, he went and he washed and he anointed himself. He changed his apparel. He went into the house of the Lord and he worshiped. He started a new chapter immediately. It's time to start a new chapter in your life. Some of us are looking at our failures, the things that we did, the abortions we committed, the babies that have passed through us. It's a dead situation. I believe the Spirit of God is ministering to some people here. And you cannot call that child back. It's time to wash yourself. Anoint yourself with the Holy Ghost. And change your apparel. Don't wear mourning clothes anymore. Wear a new dress. Don't wear things that when we see you, we feel that you are in the old era. Wear something new. And let's see that you have begun a new chapter in your life. David came to the right place. And you can also come to the right place this afternoon. I may not know the situations that we are battling with. And you know, emotional and mental pain is worse than physical pain. When you have physical pain, you can take paracetamol. You can take codeine. You can take Tylenol. You can take Pepto-Bismol for your stomach. But when it's mental and physical pain, it's like a knife. And nothing can heal it. But he's the Lord that healeth you. He sent forth his word to heal you. Allow God. You see, when you have a sore, and every time you put plaster, every time you open to see, how is it doing? Is it good? You scratch. The sore doesn't go because you are worrying the sore. But when you remove it, there's a natural process of healing that comes. It's true that you've been offended. It's true that things didn't go the way you wanted. It's true that you even gave your best, and yet everything fell through your hand. Begin to think about some success stories in the Bible, so that through the scriptures you might have hope and you might have the comfort of the scriptures. It's my prayer that the Lord will visit us once again. That all the dead situations in our lives that need to be set aside, the Lord will give us the grace to do so. And the ones that he chooses to resurrect, we will give him the ashes so that he can give us the beauty. God bless you. Hallelujah. I want us to just say a short word of prayer. I want you to talk to God about something that has been a chronic problem for a long time. I want you to ask him to help you to hear his answer. That his answer may not be the answers you are used to, but it may be a divine answer that will truly bring relief. You want to open your heart this afternoon. You want to say, Lord, I have struggled with certain things. I have felt that you have not answered, but I want to know your answer to this problem. I may not find it this afternoon, but as I walk out of here, may your Holy Ghost continue to minister to me so that I find the answer. And if you know certain dead situations in your life, but you are not having the courage to lift up that coffin and to bury it, you want to ask for grace to do that and to move on. You want to say, God, I hear by your word that you are doing a new thing. I want to allow you to do the new thing. He says, remember not the former things. Behold, I do a new thing. I want us to pray from our hearts unto God. Lord, I pray for strength. I pray for healing. I pray for healing in the broken places, Lord. In the wounded areas, Lord. In the place without strength, Lord. In the struggling pockets of our lives, Lord. In the places that we don't have answers, that we don't understand. In the chapters that are over in our lives, Lord. I pray that your hand will reach out to that place. Help us to hear the voice of your Spirit. And even if we do not hear, lead us into what is your answer so that we may catch the revelation of what your answer is in whatever situation. Lord, it may be somebody with a physical infirmity, somebody who is sick somewhere and is struggling with it, Lord. I pray that your resurrection power will come over that place. Lord, is somebody struggling with a relationship that is lost and gone? I pray for strength to move into your new chapter. I pray that you will open doors of opportunity, doors of newness, Lord, doors of doing a new thing. Oh, Jesus, make rivers in the desert and highways in the wilderness according to your word. I pray for every woman. Lord, let them see a tangible miracle of your ability to bring to life and your ability to help us to put to death and to bury the things that must be buried. I come against the spirit of grief. I come against the spirit of disappointment. I come against the spirit of frustration and hopelessness. I come against the spirit of discouragement. And I cast them out, Lord. And I speak the joy of the Lord, which is the strength of your women. I speak it now. Thank you that we'll hear testimonies of what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.
It was great having you today. To find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward Mills, please visit the Vision Bookshop at the Kodesh, North Kanishi, or meet her on Facebook at Reverend Mrs. Adelaide Heward Mills. For prayer and counseling, please call 0243-187-900. You can also drop us an email at honeyonmylips@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, God richly bless you.